We started a study in the Gospel of Luke before the worldwide pandemic hit, and I want us to get back to that study today. The Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write his gospel for the Gentiles so that they would know God's message and know God's love. And so as we study the Gospel of Luke, we too can know the truth of God's love. The purpose of Luke writing his gospel is so that we can be certain. We can have certainty in the truth of Jesus. The certainty of his birth, the certainty of his ministry, and the certainty of his resurrection. Luke 1:3 says, "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." I want each of us to be certain of what we have been taught so that we can live a life of joy and a life of peace. We live in uncertain times. That's a mild statement. Being certain of what is true seems to be a luxury not many have. When we are uncertain, we struggle with anxiety. When we are uncertain about Jesus, we question our decisions. We're concerned about our future. But when we are certain, that there's a sense of peace that washes over us, and we can relax in the truth. And I want us to be able to relax in the truth of Jesus. Because we are certain of who Jesus is, and certain of our relationship with him. When we are certain of who Jesus is, and what Jesus has done for us, we can live a life of joy and a life of peace. Knowing the truth will set us free to live in joy and courage. When we don't know the certainty of the truth of Jesus, we live in depression and doubt. Last week, we saw that with the disciples. They did not believe that Jesus had been resurrected from the grave. They were walking around in doubt and depression. But when they saw Jesus, when they were certain that he was alive, their doubt turned to courage, and they began to live a life of joy. They began to share Jesus with courage. And I want us to be able to do the same thing. Luke wants us to have that same experience. Luke wants us to be certain of the truth of Jesus. That is why Luke took time to investigate the life of Jesus and write a biography. We have Luke's historical account almost 2,000 years later so that we can be certain also. So let's get restarted in Luke 2 again and see the certainty of Jesus' birth. Jesus' birth was certified by history, prophecy, angels, and shepherds. First, the certification of history of Jesus' birth. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register." Now there's some difficulty dating this first census, which makes liberal scholars want to say that Luke was in error, that Luke wasn't inspired. For all practical purposes, just throw Luke out of the Bible. Throw the whole Bible away. But the foremost New Testament scholar of the early 20th century disagrees with those liberal scholars. Sir William Ramsay writes, "Luke is a historian of first rank." And he writes, "You may press the words of Luke in a degree beyond any other historians." Ramsay began as a skeptic. He did not believe in the reliability of the New Testament. He didn't even believe that the New Testament was written in the first century. But after many years of investigation, he concluded this: "It was gradually borne in upon me that in various details the narrative showed marvelous truth." So some may doubt Luke's historical account, but we have confidence from a skeptic who turned believer. Let's read Luke 2:1 again. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register." Now, Augustus was the adopted son of Julius Caesar, who was deified in 42 BC. And Augustus proudly wore that title, a son of God. But Luke is writing to us to let us know who the true Son of God is. Jesus, born in Bethlehem. And when Augustus was in power and Quirinius was governor, that's who the true Son of God is. Not Augustus, but Jesus of Bethlehem. Now, scholars said Luke was wrong again because they did not know Quirinius held office two different times. Then documents were found that proved that he held office in 4 BC, the time of Jesus' birth, as well as 8 AD, when he was a civilian leader. So Luke is careful to mention that this is the first census. Archaeology has shown that there was a census every 14 years, unlike the United States, who takes a census every 10 years. Have you filled yours out yet? Better get on that. Luke records the second census in Acts chapter 5, verse 37. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and his followers were scattered. The Jews didn't appreciate the census. Being enrolled as a subject of Rome was offensive to their national pride. But Joseph, even with a pregnant wife, made a 100-mile journey to be counted. The time of Jesus' birth has been certified by history. Second, the certification of Jesus' birth by prophecy. In Luke chapter 2, verse 4, says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." The religious leaders knew where Jesus was to be born. Matthew testifies to that, as he writes in chapter 2. "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" The people also knew where the Messiah was to be born. John records for us in John chapter 7, verse 40. "On hearing his words," the words of Jesus, "some of the people said, 'Surely this man is the prophet.' Others said, 'He is the Christ.' Still others ask, 'How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" We may not know the exact date when Jesus was born, but we do know the exact location. Jesus was born in the city of David, in Bethlehem, because both Mary and Joseph were from the line of David. Micah's prophecy, Micah 5:2, was fulfilled by Jesus because his parents obeyed a decree from the government. God used a pagan leader known as the Son of God to fulfill his word and bring forth the real Son of God, the Savior of the world. Joseph could have rebelled and not gone. Who would have known? Two people, big deal. "It's a hard trip. My wife is pregnant. It's going to cost too much money. We're newly married." But they obeyed because they were righteous. Mary and Joseph, being controlled by the government, by the pagan ruler of their day, just like us, they didn't complain. They were not like the zealots who rebelled. They just packed up and went. And we need to unpack and stay and let God bring forth his will. He does, and he can, and he will bring forth blessing through our government. Paul speaks of obedience to the government in Romans 13. Verse 1 says, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. The time of Jesus' birth has been certified by history and by prophecy. Third, the certification of Jesus' birth by angels. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." How many babies had been born in Bethlehem with no angelic announcement? But tonight, one special child is born. The angel comes from heaven to announce the Savior's birth. The glory of the Lord shone around them, around the shepherds. Wow! How brilliant is the light of God! Moses saw the glory of the Lord in the cleft of the rock, Exodus 33. And Paul saw the glory of the Lord on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 26. And we will see the glory of the Lord when we get into heaven, Revelation 21:23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. God opened heaven and shone the glory around the shepherds and sent a host of angels to confirm his favor on all people. Did the light and the noise scare the sheep? Did the people of Bethlehem, maybe even the people of Jerusalem, see this light of glory? Kind of like seeing heat lightning in the distance, but it would flash and stayed for several minutes. Heaven testified to the truth that this baby was the Messiah. Just like the angels testified at the empty tomb that Jesus was alive. God's messengers sharing the good news, letting us know that we can have joy and peace, letting us know that God's favor rests on us. Are you living in the joy and the peace of Jesus? Do you understand that you find favor with God? God loves you. That is why he sent Jesus as a baby to die on the cross and to resurrect, to be in heaven waiting for you. Are you living in that joy and in that peace? Don't make Jesus weep because you won't accept his peace. Remember a couple of sermons ago on Palm Sunday, Jesus wept at the crest of the hill as he looked at Jerusalem because the people did not accept his peace. The time of Jesus' birth has been certified by history, by prophecy, and angels. Fourth, the certification of Jesus' birth by shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds went from being terrified to excited and in a hurry to see Jesus. It's interesting that brave shepherds would be terrified of a light and an appearance of one angel. These shepherds were brave men, just like David, who had to protect their sheep from the lions and the bears and the wolves. And sometimes we think, oh, poor shepherds, poor lowly shepherds. But to be in the profession of King David, when you live in the city of David, could have been a real honor to carry on that tradition. It would have been an honor, too, if the sheep you were watching were temple sheep. Bethlehem was just 6 miles south of Jerusalem. What if they were watching the sheep that will be presented as a sacrifice before God? That seems like work that would bring a lot of satisfaction. And as soon as the angels disappear, the shepherds run to Bethlehem. Now maybe the townspeople are running out to the field to see this light. And maybe they join up and the shepherds tell them, and there's a larger crowd finding Jesus for the first time. And Mary would have thought, man, this place is a pig pen. I didn't take time to clean up. But instead, she treasured these moments and pondered them in her heart. We need to treasure moments with our kids and our family. We need to treasure moments when we see God moving and speaking in our lives. Treasure those moments up. The shepherd saw Jesus, just like the angel had said, and became the first evangelist of the good news. They spread the word that they wanted everyone in town to know that the Savior of the world had been born. Many had been expecting the Messiah. They knew the Messiah was to be born in their town. How exciting would that be? And they knew that it could be in their lifetime because of the prophecy of Daniel 9. The anointed one, Messiah, would come 77s or 490 years after the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Well, when was that decree? The first decree was made by Cyrus in 536 BC. You can find that in Ezra 1. The fourth decree was by King Artaxerxes in 444 BC. You can find that in Nehemiah 2. So Messiah could not have come any earlier than 53 BC and no later than 39 AD. Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem in 4 BC, right in the middle of that time frame. There was expectation, and that expectation would have been even greater if the news had traveled about Zachariah and Elizabeth's baby that was born just 6 months earlier. The excitement that must have been building in the town. And the shepherds spread that word, and the people were amazed. The time of Jesus' birth has been certified by history, by prophecy, by angels, and by the shepherds. So what should we do? Run and begin a relationship with Jesus. Be in such a hurry and an excitement, just like the shepherds, to find Jesus. And when you find him and you know that he is the Savior of the world, then you go and spread that so that others can hear and be amazed. Proclaim the message that the angels spoke. Good news of great joy for all. The Savior is born. We can have peace on earth because God's favor rests on us. We can live a life of joy. We can live a life of peace. We can live a life of praise because we are certain of the truth of Jesus. And because you know the truth of Jesus, live in that joy. Live in that peace, rest in him, and worship him, and serve him. Have courage to share the good news of Jesus. What's the most important thing that you could post on Facebook? The good news of Jesus. What's the most important thing that you could tell a friend? The good news of Jesus. What's the most important thing that you could focus your life around? The good news of Jesus, that he is the Savior of the world. Are you ready to accept him? Are you ready to accept that angelic message, to believe it and know that it is true? Hear the testimony of history. Hear the testimony of prophecy. Hear the testimony of the angels. And hear the testimony of the shepherds. Believe the message and accept Jesus. Believe the message and live in the joy of Jesus. Will you do that today? Know that if you have any questions or if you have any needs, please reach out to me. I want to be here for you during this time of uncertainty. Though we are uncertain of what is going on in this world, we are certain of Jesus. So hold on to him in this time because he loves you more than you ever know.